Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
L. Brown, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's been a business broker and a consultant for many years. He's been directly or indirectly involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and brokering of hundreds of operating businesses. He's the president of RDS Associates Incorporated, and part of his organization is also called the Business Book Press, which we'll get him to tell you about in just a few minutes. He received his master's degree and his MBA, and he also has a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering, which is kind of interesting, and a lot of other things that he's accomplished, as well as the two books that I'm looking at, and one of them is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, which won the Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine recommendation, as well as another book called Preparing Your Business for Sale. Similar topics, but a little bit different. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And Russ, one of the things that we want to talk about today, I guess maybe the primary thing we want to talk about today, is how to buy a business using seller financing. One of the things that I mentioned earlier in the hour is that if there's one common thing that I hear from people who want to buy a business is, I don't have the money to buy this business. This guy wants $100,000 or $500,000 or $1 million, and I don't have that kind of money. How in the world can I possibly buy that business?
That's right. Well, I hear that often, too. And you should never let that be a deterrent to you pursuing the possibility of buying that business. You know, and you know that I'm a big advocate of the concept, if you want to get into business, starting a business from scratch is fine, mm-hmm. but if you're thinking about doing that, you really, really ought to consider buying an existing business first. And there's so many reasons for that. But the big deterrent, as you point out, to most folks is they look at and they think about the price of that business being anywhere from $100,000, $1 million or more, and they say, I don't have that kind of money. How am I ever going to afford the business? What they don't understand is there are many, many different ways to finance the purchase price of that company.
And it's all in the structure. It's all in the way you structure the deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And here's I've got some statistics that I've compiled through my experience and in my peers out in the business brokerage field also report the same statistics. And that's of small businesses that sell. And that's so small businesses... we'll call it for these purposes anywhere from $1 million in sale price on down. 75 to 80% of the business owners, the sellers of the business, finance the sale of the business for the buyers. And they'll finance it anywhere from 50 up to 75% of the purchase price.
How about
sometimes even higher?
How about 100%? I bought a business one time with 100% financing.
That's right, and that happens more often than you think. It is possible to do. You'll never know whether you can do it or not until you look into it, and you owe it to yourself to really, really look into this. I mean, think about it. You start a business from scratch. I mean, you've got to pour a lot of money into that up front to get your storefront open, or whatever type of business it is. You've got all kinds of regulatory things to go through in your municipality, your approvals, and you've got inventory to stock. You've got perhaps people to hire. You certainly got a lot of advertising to do, stationery, all the things that go into making up a business. And you do all of that, and on day one, who have you got for customers?
One of the things that I tell people is all right. Let's say that you need lumber. What do? Go buy a stand of trees, or do you go plant trees?
Right.
You know, you go buy a stand of trees that's already grown up.
You know, that's an excellent analogy. Can I use that?
Yeah, absolutely. No problem.
Future writing.
Just send me my royalties.
Okay. Now, that's an excellent point. I mean, because the business is already there. On day one, you have customers walking through the door, the cash register is ringing, and it's just an absolutely super, super way to go about getting into business.
And a lot of people will say, well, how do you find out if the guy will finance a business? Well, tell them the best way. Just ask them.
That's right. And like we said, most people will, most sellers will agree to some level of financing. Of course, that still leaves some other cash that's required to get into the business. And that we can talk about another way. There's different ways to get that cash as well.
One of the things, you know, I've bought businesses before, helped other people buy businesses, and actually say to the buyer, I mean to the seller, I should say, how do you want your money? And I've actually had them say, I don't want my money right now. I don't want it all right now.
There are reasons why.
There are a lot of reasons.
True.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, there are those cases where the people just say, look, I want to cash out. I want all my money. If I can't sell out and get cash when I walk away, then I'm not going to sell it. You run into that. But I still recommend, Russ, even with all that, I still say that there's at least a 50-50 chance that seller doesn't really understand what the opportunity is for him or her, that there's still some opportunity because – The experience that I have is that if let's say this business is worth $500,000 and a guy wants all of his cash all up front and maybe the buyer has $50,000 that he can come up with, and that's only 10% of what the guy wants, but what if you could show the seller that over a 5-year period you'll pay him $600,000 or $650,000 or maybe more. By taking 5 years, by taking the $50,000 and taking 5 years to receive their money.
That's exactly right. And to take a little bit different tact on that, that's exactly one way to do it. There's another way that people haven't really thought about and talked about too much, and it's called leasing the business. It's possible to lease the business. Just like you'd lease a car, you can lease a business. And sometimes that works out very advantageously for the seller because of the tax implications, and it works out great for the buyer because many times you can get the business for no money down.
Leasing, you know, that's something we've never talked about on the show before, Russ. I want to talk about that some more. I also want to talk about this other structure when we come back. Folks, we got to take a break. It's 20 after. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question for me or our special guest, Russ Brown, give us a call. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingham, a small business advocate. Russell Brown is our special guest. And we're talking about how to buy a business by using seller financing. And Russell, I'd like for you to tell our audience how they can contact you, how they can get to your website.
Well, you can go to www.businessbookpress.com, and you can buy any of my books there and others that I carry. And I do undercut Amazon.com. You cannot get the books cheaper on Amazon.
And but they are available there.
They are available on Amazon, and they're available in many bookstores. Barnes & Noble carries the books, and so you can go into your local bookstore and ask them. And if they don't have it in stock, because the folks are lining up to buy these books and they may be out of stock, they can always order it. And of course, you can always give me a call here at the office at 800-363-8867. Glad to talk to your listeners.
Good. Thank you, Russ, for that. Let's go back to buying a business with seller financing. We were talking about the structure, and let's go back to our example of where this guy wants $500,000 for his business, and we've only got $50,000. And,
okay.
And you know, and of course, there are people out there listening right now who are saying, $50,000? Heck, I don't even have $5,000. You know, and that's a whole different story. But one of the things that I try to tell people who are wanting to buy this business with not having enough money is let's don't be intimidated by what this seller says. If you've developed a little bit of a rapport with the seller and the seller seems to like what you have to say as a purchaser, and that's real important, isn't it, Russ? Because people typically, when they're selling their baby, they want to think they're handing it over to someone who's worthy.
That's right. That's an extremely important point. They want to make sure that this business that they've taken many years to build up will continue on. It's sort of, like you say, their baby or their legacy.
And don't be surprised if you are not the person. You may be standing there with the cash, but if you're not the person that they want to have that business, don't be surprised if they don't let somebody else have it and finance it for them because they like what they're going to do with it better than you.
Exactly.
I've seen that happen before, and I'm sure you have too, Rob.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's not always about the money, is it?
Exactly right. And like we said too, there's lots of tax reasons sometimes where business owners don't need all that cash, don't want it because they're going to get taxed so hard, so heavily that they want to have some kind of deferred and sometimes extensive deferment of the payment for that business.
I recently put the deal together where the sellers wanted more than the buyer wanted to pay, and the seller just basically felt, I'm sorry, the purchaser didn't want to pay as much as the buyer wanted for their, as the seller I should say wanted for their company, which is typical. And the seller, I mean the purchaser, basically said, well, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this. And I said, let me work on it. What they're saying, what these people want, what the seller wants is they want roast beef. And what we were telling them is we want to give you a meal. There will be some roast beef there, but there'll also be some carrots and some peas and some other things. We're going to break it down differently. And that's exactly what we did. We structured it, and so we wound up giving the seller actually a little more than they thought they wanted, but because we paid them over a period of time, it allowed the purchaser to buy this business with less upfront money than he ever thought he could, and pay them more than they thought they could, but it was all because we interjected the concept of time, paying it out over time.
Right, paying it out over time, and I'm going to add one other thing there. The concept of earnout, which is tied, it's your payments are over time, but they're tied to the profitability
of the business. That's what we did. That's what we did in this case. And so even though it's not, the seller didn't get their money all at once, it's not really financing, but in a way it is, isn't it?
Yes, sure it is.
And, I mean, it's not like a note. It's not necessarily like taking a note for the thing. It's you're tying it, as you say, to the performance of the company.
That's right. In other words, you'll say, look, you want $500,000 for this business, and what you're looking for initially is, you know, $100,000 down, and then the $400,000 financed over some period of time. Here's what I'll do for you. I can put down $50,000 or $25,000. And I will pay you $600,000, but it will be based on a percentage taken out of the operating profits or the sales of the company over this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it turns out to be far more, then you're going to earn more.
Right.
If it's less, then I'll pay you less.
Right. But there needs to be a guaranteed amount in there before the seller will actually do that. They're going to want to know that they're going to get some level, some guaranteed level.
Sure.
All right, stand by. We're going to talk about leasing a business when we come back. This is a kind of an interesting and a probably an underused approach to buying a business. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our guest, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest and our good friend. He's the author of two outstanding books. One is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and the other one is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. And we're talking about how to buy a business without having all of your money in it, using the seller, the seller's money for financing. And our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question you'd like to ask us or a comment, maybe you've got a better idea. We'd like to hear that. Russ, talk to us about leasing a business. Now, that's something that I have to say that in all my years, I've never leased a business.
Well, it's definitely possible to do and done. And it's mostly done with service-oriented businesses that don't have a lot of assets. And but, you know, of course, you always have some assets. But limited, so you wouldn't perhaps lease a manufacturing company,
right?
But you could lease, say, a restaurant operation, a gas station,
pest
car
control
washes.
Company.
Hmm.
Pest control company.
Yeah, lots. Carpet cleaning, and you know, all kinds of business. Many, many different kinds of businesses.
A staffing company, temporary employment company,
right?
Any of those kinds of things,
right? And the way this would work is you'd have, almost like you do with a car. You'd lease it for a period of time with an option to buy at the end, and the option would be tied. You know, you'd price that option out, or perhaps you could postpone that to later negotiations. But you'd get it for a period of time, and you would base your lease on the projected profits of the business. So that you'd be able to make a living, you know, get your salary. If you're going to work in the business, you would get your salary out of it, plus some profit. And plus, if you were able to build the business, you would get the extra profits that would come out of your being able to build the business.
So all you'd be responsible to the lessor for would be the would be just the lease payment.
That's right. It would be almost like leasing a building, you know, for and writing a lease for it for a period of time. You know, for X dollars a month, you get to operate the business. You get to use the name of the business. You get to do everything relative to running that business. The owner of the business still is the owner. And if you default, the owner can step back in. Or at the end of the lease term, you have this prior agreed to payment to purchase the business outright, in which case then financing of the business could kick in.
But you'd have to have an absolute ability to buy that business. In other words, there wouldn't be any opportunity if you wanted to buy it for the seller, for the lessor to come back and say, no, I've decided I don't want to sell it now that you built it up and improved it.
I think that would be very prudent of you to make sure that you had the option of buying it under some conditions, at least a minimum of first refusal, so that if the... Because typically the seller is going to want to is leaving the business. And one of the reasons that they're going to lease the business out is because they're having a difficult time selling it. Let's just take a carpet cleaning business, for example. I mean, those are sometimes very lucrative businesses, but they're difficult to sell because everybody thinks, well, I can just start my own carpet cleaning business. Mm-hmm. I'll just go out and buy some carpet scrubbers and some soap and print up some business cards, and I'm in business. Why should I pay this guy any kind of money?
Right.
Well, some of these carpet cleaning businesses have established clientele. You know, I've looked at several. Some of them have $50,000-$75,000 a year of established clients that come back. You know, they're what they are is corporations and schools and large commercial retail businesses and that, and it goes in regularly. Well, when you buy this person's business, you're immediately starting off with that $50,000-$75,000 of gross income. And in the carpet cleaning business, what's your overhead?
Right.
It's very low. So most of that gross goes right to your pocket.
So typically the leasing of a business is kind of the motivation of the seller more than maybe it is the buyer.
That's right, but it's one way to make a deal work. So if you don't have the cash, any cash at all, let's say, and that's why I tell people, look at businesses for sale no matter what. I mean, if you want to be in business and you're thinking of starting a carpet cleaning business, let's say, see if there's any businesses for sale, or approach the carpet cleaning businesses in the area that might be for sale. They may not be actually on the market being advertised, but you may find that the owner's been wanting to sell for some time. And as you get into discussions, you may turn out and you say, well, look, I don't have very much money. I have very little money. I have enough money to maybe operate for operating capital, but I can't pay you even a down payment. But what I can do is this. I will lease your business from you. And for a period of time, I will pay you, let's say the net on that carpet cleaning business was $50,000 a year. I will pay you $10,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of 5 years, I will buy the business. I have the right to buy the business from you for one additional payment of $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now what would happen is the seller would have gotten out of the business. Let's say they wanted to retire, or they're tired of doing the business, or they got a better opportunity somewhere. They have to move out of the area, which is frequent. Now what they're doing is they're getting payments of $10,000 a year, and the $10,000 at the end. So they've sold their business for $60,000.
And since it's not hasn't been sold, it's just been leased, it's a whole lot easier to take that business back under a lease than it would be if you'd actually sold it to them.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, let's finish this up when we come back. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're going to talk about some other financing methods, some other ways to buy a business using other financing methods. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. 44 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And I want to remind you that some of our upcoming shows include Beverly Williams, the president and the founder of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. And we're going to be talking about home-based business issues when Beverly joins us, which we always do. And also, Joan Pride, associate editor with the Kiplinger Letters, is going to join us after Beverly, and we'll be talking about the most recent Kiplinger Letter. Then on Friday, Ken Grundbach is going to be with us and in the first hour, and he's going to be talking to us about demographics. He's our demographics expert for the Small Business Advocate Show, and we're going to be talking about how that affects your small business and how that affects the marketing that you're doing. And then after him, Tom Feltenstein and Gary Moore are going to be joining us. Tom is the author of Uncommon Wisdom, and Gary is the author of Spiritual Investments. And we're going to be talking about the importance of balance in your life, the importance of nurturing your spirit, and how all that plays into the ultimate success of your business. And I'm looking forward to having those two on at the same time. Right now we're visiting with our good friend Russ Brown, and we're talking about how to buy a business by using seller financing. And Russ, one of the things that you and I have talked about a while back that we need to interject into this conversation, and that's the importance of recasting the financial statement. A lot of times when someone says that they want $1 million for their company, they're also paying themselves a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, or they're driving a whole, you know, a really expensive car that the company's paying for, or whatever it might be. And if you're going to buy that business, you might be willing to have a little lower standard of living initially.
Oh, absolutely.
And so if you can recast the financial statement with the things that you bring to the table, as well as your standard of living, you know, you may have to work without a bonus for 5 years. Well, this guy's been taking a big bonus until you get this company paid for. And that's a lot of the way that you can come up with money, as you were talking earlier, part of the earn out. That's the way you can come up with the money to buy this business.
Right. And that frequently happens. And that's an absolute imperative that you do, is to recast the earnings. Whether you do it yourself or you hire someone, a consultant, to do it for you, or you rely on the business broker's recasting, that really has to happen, because small businesses are operated primarily to shelter the income from taxes that would otherwise go to Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a profitable business, I'm going to tell you, business owners do everything they can to make that money go to their pocket and not to Uncle Sam's.
Right.
Now, this is all of this, there are so many loopholes. They're all, a lot of them are legal. Well, they're all legal. And some of them are things that you just won't have to do when you take over the business.
Right. Don't forget, tax evasion is illegal. Tax avoidance is not illegal.
That's exactly right. And that's what I'm saying here, is tax avoidance. And, you know, some of the typical things are, of course, having your insurance policies paid for out of the company for the owner, whether it's Key Man Life Insurance or other health insurance. Now, you may find that you have your own insurance through, say, a spousal's employment or whatever, and so you don't need to have to pay for your insurance through the company. So you could save thousands of dollars there in the bottom line of what that company's listing as an expense.
Mm-hmm.
Vehicles, I mean, a successful company, you know, Uncle Sam generally doesn't step in and say, well, you can't drive a Jaguar or a BMW or something like that, and you could decide that, well, the seller of the business, he's driving a BMW, which is being paid at the rate of, you know, perhaps, say, $10,000 a year, $15,000 a year is being paid for out of the company as a company car. You say, hey, I can get along with
a truck.
a Chevy, or, you know, a beat-up old Chevy truck.
Right, till I get this company paid for.
That's right. And so you could save that kind of money per year. And so those are just two examples. There are probably hundreds of these kinds of things that you could possibly have.
And that money, that savings, those savings drop to the bottom line and can be used to pay for the company.
Absolutely.
If you can agree to get the owner to do financing.
That's right.
To allow you to earn this out, so to speak.
Right. And let me tell you another thing that's overlooked. A lot of businesses have assets kicking around in the company that really are not productive assets. You know, the business, generally business owners, they've when they get ready to sell, they're either getting ready to retire, or they're getting burned out in the business, and they've gotten a little sloppy. And what a real savvy buyer can do is come in and see ahead of time that there are assets that they can sell after they buy the business.
We're talking liquidate here.
Liquidate some of those assets to recoup some of that cash.
I saw a deal put together one time where the down payment was paid for by the thing you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly, and that happens more often than you think. So you look in that business, you say, well, we don't really need to. You know, they've got three trucks in this delivery business, and I know that there is a service available where I can lease that delivery service. And by the way, this is becoming big time in the country. I'm seeing this over and over again, leasing... not leasing, just hiring the delivery of your product instead of doing it yourself. So now what happens is you get rid of the truck drivers, the three truck drivers, you sell the three trucks, and you're able to generate a large amount of cash and save on the bottom line. When it all clears away, what I've seen is you can actually hire these companies to do this delivery for less than it costs you for the in-house people.
And the savings drops to the bottom line. It can go out to the seller. And that goes back to what I was talking about earlier, Russ, when I said the guy wants roast beef. And we say, well, we're going to give you some roast beef, but there might be some peas and carrots, too. And one of those vegetables is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Now, stand by. We're going to be right back, folks. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. We're going to wrap up the hour by finishing our discussion on how to buy a business with seller financing. All right, we're back. It's 54 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Russ Brown is our special guest and our good friend. Russ is a very valued member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. And one of the things that you have to do if you want to be a member of the Brain Trust is you have to demonstrate to me that you are committed to helping small business owners. And I'll tell you what, Russ fills that bill 110%. And Russ, I want to thank you for that and congratulate you on your commitment.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. Very kind.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And, folks, we're talking about buying and selling a business, and we've been talking about how to use seller financing, but there are a couple other places that people always like to ask me about, Russ, and I know you get this question a lot, too, is, in fact, I got one in yesterday. Somebody said, can I borrow money from a bank to buy a business? And I know you and I agree and disagree a little bit on this. Tell us what you think.
Well, that's right. We agree. Maybe we agree more than we think. And typically, if you walked into a bank and said, "I want to talk to you about borrowing money to buy a business," my experience is 99% of the time or more, they're going to say no, because banks don't want to. There's no liquidity in the market for a business, and they don't have any expertise, or they don't have anybody to run the business if you default on the loan.
They like serial numbers, don't they?
Yes.
And, things that they can sell, things that have a blue book value.
Exactly. And, you know, so like say on a home situation where they finance a home, I mean, if you default on the payments in the home and they have to take over the home, first of all, it's liquid.
There's an aftermarket.
You can sell it fairly quickly.
Yep.
And secondly, if they have to hold it for a while, they have people who know how to take care of a house that's been shelved for a while. They could even lease, rent it out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But so they're not worried about that. What they're worried about in a business is they don't know how to run the business. You can't just bring somebody in. So there really is no collateral for them in that sense, other than the hard assets of the business. And most of the assets of a business generally don't have very little value outside the context of that business.
But I know we don't disagree here, but where that's a little bit different is when you need the bank to be part of the funding. And let's say that we get the seller to take part of their collateral to finance this. Maybe they take some of the real estate back as collateral. But you've still got your inventory and your accounts receivable that you could let the bank hold that for the money to give as your down payment.
Absolutely.
So use the banks as part of the team, so to speak, rather than 100% of the funding source, use them as part of the funding team.
Exactly right. And so that's what this is all about, putting together a team, putting together a bunch of mutual interests to make sure you can buy this business. So you've got the seller, you've got the buyer. You should involve a bank if you need the capital, because you're right. They won't give you the money to buy the business per se,
right?
But they will certainly finance the receivables. They'll advance funding against that. They'll give you a line of credit.
And by the way, typically, folks, for AR, it's about 75% on the dollar, and for inventory, it's about 50 cents on the dollar.
That's right.
That's a rule of thumb.
That's right. And hard assets, it could be anywhere from 25 to 50%
right.
For various hard assets, depending on the market, what they determine the marketability.
Exactly.
So you could put together a deal with the seller that just talked about seller financing and put that whole deal together. Then right after the business sale, you'll already have been talking with a bank. The bank will come in and finance the receivables, finance the inventory, and some of the assets, and you may be able to get back your entire down payment.
That's exactly
through that
right.
process.
Russ, we got to wrap it up. That's got to be the last word. As always, you did a great job. Thank you very much for your time and your perspectives and your wisdom.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I enjoy talking to you and your audience.
Thank you, sir. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.